Testing.
Okay, thank you. Shua Tal this year is dedicated to Abraham Ben Mordechai David. He's the father of a dear student of mine, David Harel. He's in Canada now, and he's studying with me many years. His father passed away. So this is dedicated to the memory of Abraham Ben Mordechai David, the cardinal of Raqqa, the father of David Harel from Canada. Shir is about the affirmation that death is not final. We will see our deceased loved ones again. The affirmation is one of the cardinal beliefs of the Jewish religion. It's one of the animamans. In fact, it's the last one of the animamans, right? Meisim yechayel baruch hazo baruch hadeyachay tehiloso. Shouldn't give up my day job, right? Meisim yechayel, right? The Rambam tells us in the 13 principles of Jewish faith that it's a cardinal belief in Yahadut that the dead will be resurrected again. The question is why, and where do we find that in the Torah? There's actually a verse in the Devarim Lamed Bet, Deuteronomy 32, God says, Ani Amit, I put the dead, Machayet, and I bring back the life. Machatsti, I make sick, Vani Erpa, and I cure. So Deuteronomy 32 says clearly, God says, I put the dead, and I bring back the life. So the question is, why do the dead have to come back to life? And it's amazing that one of the sources for Kriyas HaMeisim is the Shir HaKayam. There's a strong connection between Kriyas HaMeisim and the festival of Pesach, as we're going to see. In fact, in the Shir HaKayam, the reason we have Shvi'i Shel Pesach is to celebrate the splitting of the Red Sea. And the Jews sang the song at the sea, and it says, Oz Yashir Moshe. Then Moshe and the Jews will sing. So it should have said, then Moses and the Jews sang, because they sang over 3,300 years ago. Achman says, Yashir, that they will sing. So the Talmud of Sanhedrin learns out, Kriyas HaMeisim in our Torah, that Moses and the Jews will be resurrected once again, and they will not sing the Shira again. So one of the sources for the resurrection of the dead is the Exodus, the Shvi'i Shel Pesach, when it says the Jewish people and Moses will sing the Shira. So why, again, what is the connection between Shira, Pesach, and Kriyat Yamsul? So the Rambam says that when you think of the great miracle, what comes to mind? What comes to your mind? The great miracle. Splitting of the Red Sea, right? So the Torah is telling us you ain't seen nothing yet. If you think splitting of the Red Sea was a great miracle, stay tuned. That Kriyas HaMeisim will be even a greater miracle. So that's it by the Shir HaKayam, which celebrates the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea. There the Torah tells us Yashir, that there will be a greater miracle than the Kriyat Yamsul. What would that be? Kriyas HaMeisim, where Moses and the Jews from 3,200 years ago will once again be resurrected, and once again they will sing what? The Shir HaKayam. And therefore, this is the source of Kriyas HaMeisim, the Shir HaKayam. The Rambam tells us that Kriyas HaMeisim will be such a miracle that the splitting of the Red Sea will pale by comparison. You think of the great miracle, you think about splitting of the Red Sea. That's why we have the seventh day of Pesach. So the Rambam explains that this is the source to teach that the Kriyas HaMeisim will be a much greater miracle than even Kriyas Yamsul was. Another reason why splitting of the Red Sea is the source of Kriyas HaMeisim. How could the Jews sing the Shira? Remember, only 20% of the Jews left Egypt. They just lost 80% of their relatives. Remember, 4/5 died during the 3 days of darkness. So how can the Jewish people sing the song of Shira when they're mourning for their dead relatives? So when God, when the prophet promised them that death is not final, that there will be Kriyas HaMeisim, then Oz Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael. Once the Jews received the promise of Kriyas HaMeisim, then they were able to sing the song of the sea. Because otherwise, how could you sing when you're late with 80% of your relatives just died in Mitzrayim? So when they received the promise of Kriyas HaMeisim, that's your then, Oz, was Ozmi. Then, when then? then, when they received the promise of the resurrection of the dead, only then were the Jews able to sing the song of the Red Sea. The question is, why Tiasames? Why is Tiasames a part of belief in Yahadut? Why, right? The Rabbah of the 13th principles of faith, that someone who does not believe in the resurrection of the dead is called a kofer. What does a kofer mean? A heretic. A heretic. So why is it a card for belief in Yahadut to believe that the dead will be resurrected? Madu adalama. Why should the neshama not be made in Olam Haba? So the Mishnah tells us in the Sefer Ohot, Yotah sho'achat b'tshuvah u'maisim toivim olam hazeh mikol chai olam haba. 1 hour of tshuva and good deeds in this world is yachat or yachabi. More beautiful than the entire olam haba. Here. So therefore, resurrection of the dead is necessary to give us a second chance. Here. Those people that failed, that didn't accomplish their mission, and Olam Haba, a dead person can no longer progress. He's stuck in neutral. So Yotah sho'achat b'tshuvah u'maisim toivim olam hazeh. So God will bring back the dead to give them a second chance to do tshuva u'maisim toivim, which you're not able to do where in Olam Haba. So therefore, Hashem will bring back the dead, give them a second chance to do tshuva u'maisim toivim here. That's why resurrection of the dead is a card of belief in Yahadut, that anyone will get a second chance. The chesed habore, that no one has to fail. A disembodied soul cannot do tshuva. A disembodied soul cannot progress. But at the end of time, God will bring back all the neshamot to give them a second chance to do right, to progress, to advance, which can only be done when the neshama is locked inside a roof. Daniel chapter 12 tells us, the Rabbin Yishayai Atmas Ofar Yetitzu. He says, many of those that sleep in the dust will be what? What's your teacher mean? Wake up. It doesn't say only Jews. It says the Rabbin. Daniel 12. That's the clearest reference in Tanakh. The Rabbin Yishayai Atmas Ofar Yetitzu. Many of those that sleep in the dust will awaken. So even our righteous Gentile, not limited only to Jews, will get that second chance to come back. Now, on Pesach, we read the Valley of the Dry Bones. If you want to take a look at it, I made some copies. If you want to hand them on the mouth, if you want to look in. The Valley of the Dry Bones, which is read when? It's read on Pesach, right? What's the connection between the resurrection of the dead and Pesach? That this Torah, Ezekiel chapter 37, is read when on Chalamot Pesach, correct? Who are these dry bones that came to life? Why do you read it on Pesach? So what my Gaon tells us, that we have a Masorah, that Kriyas HaMesim hour will take place when? On Pesach. That the resurrection of the dead at the end of time will take place when? On Pesach. So therefore it's very appropriate to what? To read the Akbarah of the resurrection of the dead performed by Yecheskel on Pesach, because this is what's called a precursor. So when it's a harbinger of what will happen at the end of time on Chalamot Pesach, where the dead will be resurrected. So you read the incident that took place already to give us an encouragement. And we're not, that on Chag HaPesach, the dead will be what? Resurrected. We have the Valley of the Dry Bones, incredible, where Yecheskel resurrects over 200,000 dead people. Who are these dead people? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, page 92, says that these dry bones were the 200,000 bones of the Ephraimites, the Shevet Ephraim. They left Egypt 30 years early. They didn't wait for Moshe Rabbeinu. They miscalculated. They jumped the gun. They left Egypt 30 years earlier. They were massacred by the PLO. The more things change, the more they change. You look in the book of Judah alone, says the Plishtim, the Palestinians, massacred the Shevet Ephraim, 200,000. So for centuries, their bones were laying bleaching in the sun. Because the Exodus was 3,300 years ago. Yechezkel lived 2,500 years ago. So how many centuries is that? From 3,300 years ago to 2,500 years ago. 8 centuries. So they were dead for over 8 centuries. The bones were bleached and dry, and Yechezkel, he brought them back to life. Look at the Torah, Ruben. Just take a look at the Torah. You have it in Hebrew and in English. This is read on Chalamot Pesach, because the high God tells us that the resurrection will take place on Pesach. So the hand of the Lord was on me, carrying the spirit of the Lord, who sent me down midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and he caused me to pass them round and round. You look at the Hebrew, the Ramiyalei of Saviv Saviv. God didn't put him down in the valley, but God caused him to rock, to float around Saviv Saviv. Why? Why? Because Yechezkel was a Kohen. A Kohen cannot come in contact with dead bones. So the Rashi explains in Ezekiel 37, you look at the second verse in Hebrew, that Ramiyalei Saviv Saviv. God made him circle the bones roundabout like he was floating in the air, because a Kohen, like Yechezkel was, is not permitted to rot, to come in contact with dead bones. So rather he's circling above. You hear? So he goes in over here, Hashem tells him, what does Hashem tell him over here? Can these bones live? And what does the prophet answer? Hashem, only you know. Right? So again, he said to be prophesied over these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of Hashem. Thus says the word of Hashem to these bones. I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay veins on you, and bring your flesh on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. You shall know that I am Hashem. So the prophet says, I prophesied as I was commanded. There was a great noise and a rattling. What do you mean a rattling? The bones were disjointed. They've been dead for over 8 centuries, right? So the bones came together, bone to bone. And Yechezkel was taking all of this in. What a show. And he saw the veins and the flesh come on them, the skin covered them. But the Ruach Abraham, what does the word Ruach mean? There was no Neshama. The word Neshama, Ruach, there was no Ruach in them. So you see that this follows the pattern God created Adam. First it says he created the physical goof, and then it says he breathed into him what? The Shalom Aleichem. So here it follows that pattern. Like Adam, first God creates the goof, And then what? What's another word for neshama? Ruach. So we hear too, God creates the goof again. The Ruach Abraham, but there was still no neshama in them. So God says to me, prophesy to the breath. What's the breath? To the neshama. And say to the breath, it's the same word for Ruach, for breath or wind, the same word for neshama. In Hebrew. The word Ruach means what? Breath. The word Ruach means the Shama. And the word Ruach means what? Wind. Why is it the same word in Hebrew? Why? Because the Shama is like the wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it. So he says, come the four winds and breathe upon these dead bodies and then they live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them and they lived, and they stood on their feet, a great army. You hear? According to the Talmud of the Sanhedrin 92, 200,000 of the massacred Ephraimites. This is another reason why you read this on Pesach. Tell me why. This was a failed exodus. These Shevet Ephraim people left 30 years earlier. They they miscalculated the Exodus. So this was a failed Exodus. You hear? So therefore, we read this on Pesach because their revival on Pesach was a culmination of what? Of the Exodus. You hear me? Therefore, it's appropriate to read this on Pesach because this is the culmination of the failed Exodus, which they had 30 years earlier. They miscalculated the Exodus. They didn't wait for Moshe Rabbeinu. So, reading this on Pesach, their revival is a culmination of the Exodus. That's another reason why you read it when on Pesach. So, yes?
How did Pharaoh let them out?
They broke out. They didn't let them out. They escaped. You ever see Spartacus?
Yeah.
With Kirk Douglas? They just broke out. They were very powerful warriors, and they escaped 200,000 of them. But they were massacred by the Philistines. You read Dibra Hayamin, that's what it says over there. They were very powerful, they didn't wait, and they escaped. They fought their way out, but they couldn't fight against the Philistines. The Philistines were more fierce than the Egyptians were, and they were massacred. And these are the bones that Yechezkel resurrects 8 centuries later, approximately.
How come God needed him to do the resurrection? How come God needed himself?
That's a great question. The answer is, Rod Ellie, who split the Red Sea?
Sure.
Oh, the joint effort. Read the text. If the Jews would not have dove into the Red Sea, it would not have split.
Nachshon
and Shem and Yehuda and Benyamin. This is Tikkun Olam. Of course God can do everything. But God loves man so much that he wants us to be his partner in Tikkun Olam. So therefore we have Moses, Yechezkel, the Nevi'im. God says we got to do it together. He doesn't need any partners. But it shows how much God loves man that he purposely left the Bria undone to give us this course, the privilege, the opportunity to act. To make even all up, to do it together. That shows how much God loves mankind. In fact, you know, the great Rabbi Akiva was asked by Curtis Rufus, whose work is greater, man's work or God's work? So what did Rabbi Akiva say? Man's work. So Curtis Rufus says, why? Man's work. You're supposed to be a great rabbi. Because I'll prove to you that man's work is greater. You ever try eating raw wheat? Heck, raw wheat, but a holy bagel. Holy bagel, delicious. Who makes raw wheat? Hashem. Who makes a holy bagel? We do it. So what's the point? God could have made holy bagels, raw on trees. But he loves man so much, he purposely left creation undone to give us the awesome privilege to become his wife, his partner in bringing Tikkun Olam. That's what it's all about. So, hey, look at these bones that says over here. Who are these bones? Look at the bottom of the page. Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you back to the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened up the graves. Now, we know these people were not in graves. These bones were scattered. They weren't buried. What is God telling you, Yechezkel? Behold, I open up your graves, and I bring you up from your graves. These people were not in graves. The bones were laying on the surface of the earth. So obviously, there's a deeper lesson here that doesn't just pertain to these dry bones. It's a lesson of Klal Yisrael. I think it's a nevuah for our time. After the Holocaust, weren't the Jews in Europe living skeletons? When God opened up their graves, the Auschwitz, they were mamish in the living graves. And they came living skeletons out of the graves, and Hashem brought them El Atmas Yisrael. Isn't that the greatest mess of all? Perhaps this is a nevuah for our time. You know, the Gemara Megillah said there were millions of Nevi'im. Millions. How come only 48 are recorded? for those millions are going to be in store for their own time. We said we have no prophets today. Of course we have prophets. We have Gazkel and Yishayahu and all the other Nevi'im that are recorded are speaking for our time. Spoken to our generation after the Holocaust, when the state of Israel was not created, when God took us out of our graves and brought us to Admat Yisrael. This is the greatest miracle of all.
Could be talking about the Tehillah of 18 also?
Of course he's talking about that, but he's also talking about the Geula process. I'll show it to you soon. He's talking about the Geula process as well. Now over here, first God put the dead bodies back. First he gave the bodies what? Flesh, skin, veins, blood vessels. First there was a physical revival. And only then did God bring in the Ruach, correct? That's what happened over here. Rav Kook says that the process of the Ruach would follow the process of the Chazon Atzohat HaYeveshot. First, there's going to be a physical revival of Am Yisrael, like the dead bodies being clothed in flesh and skin, and only then will the Spirit come in. He says, Geula, this is a process for our time. First, Israel will have to be resurrected physically. The country will have to prosper with a great economy. That's like the body of Am Yisrael. That's the first stage, like in Yechezkel with these dry bones. And only then will the spiritual Geula come. You know what Kook is saying? He's saying something incredible. He's saying, if you look in Parshas Bikaisai, it says about the Geula, Koinemiyut, you are saying. Koinemiyut. What does Koinemiyut mean? Standing upright. But the word Koinemiyut, what does Koma mean to you? It means a floor, doesn't it? Koma means a floor. A book says, amazing. Why does God tell us in Parshas Bikaisai, Koinemiyut, you are saying? Kalimir means there's two floors to the Geula. First is Koma Karka, the foundation. Koma Karka, the ground floor. What's the foundation? Physical Eretz Yisrael. The Jews physically coming out from the graves of Auschwitz and coming back on Admas Yisrael, as Yechezkel says, and building this wonderful country with a super economy. That's Koma Karka. That's the physical Eretz Yisrael. And then, the second stage, the second Koma, that would be what? The spiritual Geula. The rejuvenation. Get it? Rejuvenation of Yisrael. So first is Koma Karka, physical Geula, when we build the land as the pioneers did when they came back. Who built this country? Who the survivors of Auschwitz? So that's the goof coming back. The bones, the skin, the blood vessels. That's the first stage. The goof is this process, and then there'll be a second stage, just like the neshama came in later. So too says Rav Kook. This is the physical heir to Shurab, is the Koma's Karka, and then there'll be another Koma of the neshama of Eretz Yisrael. What's the neshama? The spiritual Geula. But first has to be what? A physical Geula. Just like in Israel, the Jews were Mente Shari Tuma, who were spiritually dead. God revived us. Pesach has this unique quality to rejuvenate us. Get it? Rejuvenate. Pesach has this koyach of kiddush. Achodesh hazeh lochem. I give you the power to renew yourselves. A nation that suffered 6 million dead. How much is that? Almost half of our people were murdered? More than one third. More than one third of our people were murdered. Any other nation would have given up and thrown in the towel. 3 years after the worst tragedy to strike the Jewish people, 3 years later, we have this beautiful country, Eretz Yisrael. deliverance. What a miracle. This is mamish to the ruach in Hezkel. Ba'aleishi eskeli kibrotehem. I bring you from the grave, meant the valley of the dry bones, they were not in graves. Yechezkel speaking to our generation. I bring you from the graves of Auschwitz, living skeletons. Yechezkel eskeli kibrotehem Yisrael. And I bring you to the land of Eretz Yisrael. This is the greatest miracle of our time that Yechezkel prophesied almost 2,500 years ago. I'll tell you a story that a friend of mine, he survived the Holocaust. He came to this country. Didn't even know, they gave him a rifle. Didn't even know which end is up. They gave him a rifle to go find it. They had nothing. But I witnessed the mission that took place in 1948 from these living skeletons that came out from the graves of Auschwitz. They had nothing. They had sewer pipes. I'm telling the story, swears it's true. So they took sewer pipes and they stuck them in the ground with the barrels up, mounted on a hill. The Jordanian army is coming and they see these huge sewer pipes. And they think it's artillery.
Yeah.
So they turn away, they take off their shoes and they run. Miracles, unbelievable miracles. Sewer pipes on the hills, looks like cannons. Who gave them this idea? And the Jordanians should think that it's artillery to turn tail? Azen Nishin. 3 years after the worst tragedy to strike the Jewish people, he built this wonderful country. This is mamish. We are the dry ones come to life. That's who we are, the state of Israel. And according to our book, this is Ashkalta de Gura. This is the physical stage of the redemption, the Koma Karka. Just like the Yechezkel, these dead bones first were clothed with the flesh and the skin, and on the end of the Ruach come. Same thing with Eretz Yisrael. This is a process of Gula. Therefore, the Mashiach will come, Rokei Alachamor. Zechariah tells us Mashiach will come, Rokei Alachamor. What does that mean, Rokei Alachamor?
Riding.
Why not a Volvo? Can't he afford a Volvo? Or a scooter? Not Yachamor. Huh? Mashiach will really ride a Chamor. No one rides Chamors today except on Mount Zion. You don't know who's riding who, right? I'm not sorry, but why do you see a chamor? So a book explains, if you ever see a chamor goes forward, stops, and goes backwards. On Mount Zion, we have a lot of chamorim. They go forward, they stop, and they go backwards. Forward to backwards, forward to backwards. So a book explains that this is the process of Gu'ulah. You see a chamor like a chamor. It won't be a straight road of progress. There'll be many setbacks to where a chamor goes. In the end, we'll get there, but don't be discouraged by the setbacks. By the terrorism, by Oslo, by the Gush Katif, we got kicked out of Gush Katif. There are many setbacks, but the process of Geula is a process of forwards and backwards. Because the Zohar says that the final Geula will be a parallel of the first Geula. According to the Zohar, we are the generation of the final Gula. If you think about the first Gula from Mitzrayim, how was the process? The Jews accepted the Torah, we said, Nasa the Nishma. On the way, the kids got there. 40 days later, what did you have? The Chetah Egel, setback, the Egel, the Meratlin, Korach mutiny, the Benot Moab, setback after setback. It looks like we were never going to wind up in Israel. But at the end of 40 years, we got here. So the Zohar explains that just like the first Geula had many setbacks, it wasn't a straight road, but eventually we wound up in Israel. So the final Geula will be the same way, like on a Chamor. Forwards and backwards, but eventually we're going to make it. The Iker is not to fall into Yish, not to give up hope. Therefore, the human God says that the word Shachar and the word Shachar in Hebrew is the same root. How do you say dawn in Hebrew? Shachar. the dawn, which is the same root of the word shahar, black. What is the blackest part of the night? Right before dawn. Rakuk points out, the dawn points out, that just like the blackest part of the night was right before dawn, if that's true in the physical world, then certainly in the spiritual world, the blackest part of the night is right before the dawn of what? Of redemption. Because things look so bleak now, it means that we are very, very close to the dawn of what? Because things are so shahar, we know the shahar of the spiritual redemption is very close. The ikar is not to fall into despair, not to buckle to Hillary or to Obama, these are just the setbacks on the chamor. So we have to get to where we have to go. And the ikar is not to fall into yish, and not to give in, and not to give up. So that chapter is, Chai says, Ani yorokem al chamor. Mashiach will ride the chamor, it means that the pattern of Geula will be like a chamor walks forwards and backwards, but eventually we are going to make it. So we have this Valley of the Dry Bones, that these were the shade of the Friday who were massacred. Yechezkel brought them back on Pesach, because Rav Haigon said that Pias and Mason will take place on Pesach as well. There's one opinion in the Gemara that this entire episode of Yechezkel is Mashal Hayah. Mashal. What does Mashal mean? It's a parable. According to one opinion in the Gemara, this is only a parable. Here. And that's the Rambam's opinion. Is this reality or parable? Most of the opinion of the Talmud is that this actually happened. Yechezkel actually revived these dead bones. But there's a minority opinion, the Rambam moves like that, that this entire episode is only a parable. So who were the dry bones according to Rambam? Were they at all? It just represents the generation of redemption. That our generation, Rav Kook, is incredible. According to the Rambam and Rav Kook, this is a parable for our generation. So according to the Rambam, this entire episode of the Valley of the Dry Bones took place in a prophetic vision. Did it really happen? Or it happened only in the prophet's mind's eye? Is the physical Yechezkel transported to this place? Well, obviously, according to Rashi, he is. Therefore, what? He couldn't set down in the place because a Kohen can't become Tameh. But according to Rambam's opinion, that this only took place in a vision, it wouldn't matter if he set down in the place or not. Right? The Rambam says something amazing. He says, wherever you have in Tanakh, where you have Malachim interacting with people, it never takes place in the physical world. This got the Rambam in a lot of hot water. You remember, it's beautiful. You have Avraham sees these three of Malachim approaching. He runs to the barn. He makes them pastrami sandwiches, right? According to the Rambam, it never took place in the physical world. It took place in the prophet's mind. Who said that's any less real? Because when a Lovi has a vision, who's to say what's reality? Is the physical world reality? Or is the prophetic vision reality? But according to the Rambam, the entire episode, Yehavah runs to the Malachim and he runs to Sarah. They eat quickly. He gets the hungry. According to Rambam, it never took place in the physical world. It took place in the vision, in the trance of Avraham Avinu. Later on in the book of Yechezkel, Hashem tells Yechezkel to lie on his side for 390 days. Can you imagine lying on your side for 390 days? Huh? You wake up with a backache. Now Rashi said it actually happened. According to the Rambam, again, is God torturing the prophet? According to the Rambam, again, it was only a vision. When Hashem told the Heskel to lie on one side for 390 days. So according to Rambam, it's also only a vision, like the Valley of the Dry Bones. It's taking place in a mystical vision of trance that God is showing the prophet. But again, who's to say that the mystical vision, the prophetic vision, is any less real than the physical world? I mean, we know that the world of the spirit is eternal. The physical world, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. But the point that the Rambam is making, that whenever you have people interacting with Malachim and Tanakh, it has to take place not in the physical world, because Malachim are not spiritual beings. Malachim are not physical beings. Malachim are not physical beings, so the only interaction between a Malach, or between God and the human, can only be what? In the spiritual world. They're not taking place in the physical world. But according to Rashi, Rashi says, no, the reason that God took him Saviv, is because he was a Kohen, and a Kohen cannot come in contact with a dead body. But according to Rambam, that wouldn't be a problem if what? It's only taking place in the prophet's mind, in the vision of the Lord.
But it doesn't have to be amongst the bones itself, it could be at a distance.
No.
And he could say a distance that they should be together.
Okay, but why did you say Sadiq Sadiq? Because a Kohen cannot step into a cemetery with bones. So therefore, Hashem was making it airborne. That's Rashi's opinion on this. But again, who's to say that the spirit, we know that who's to say that the spiritual world is any less real than the physical world? There's us. It's called, what's it called, the fifth dimension. There's another dimension out there, it's out of body experience. According to Rambam, when a Navi has a vision of God or angels, he's having an out of body experience. So he says, I was transported and carried me in the spirit of the Lord. According to Rambam, he's having an out of body experience. Yes?
This wasn't a valley, the bones were in a valley.
The bones were in the valley, right.
So why couldn't Yechezkel be at the top of the mountain overlooking the mountain? Would that be okay for him, even if he was coming?
So why did we say that God would cause them to pass round about the bones? Why would that import?
So maybe he went on the mountains around.
According to Rashi, he was floating around because he couldn't be set down in the valley because he would become tummy.
Well, of course he couldn't. But that's okay. Why he's a bone.
But according to Rambam, it wouldn't be a problem because the spirit of Yechezkel doesn't become tummy. Only a body can become tummy. If you're just a neshama, you can't become tummy. So according to Rambam, whenever a Navi has a vision of God or an angel, it's the Navi having an out-of-body experience. You just remain. Okay? But according to Rashi, it actually took place in the physical world as well. But anyway, as we see from here, if you read this of Torah carefully, the Navi is describing, I think he's describing what? Our generation. Right? And the way the pull is going to happen in two stages, Kayyidus Bartangle. First, the physical Ruah, which is the state of Israel with the super economy that we have. And then there will be the second stage, the spiritual Ruah, represented by the Ruach. When God created Adam, first, again, he created what? The physical Adam? First, the ground floor, and then he breathed it into him. What? Kenishmat Chayim, the cell of Elohim. Exactly what it follows over here. So this is read on Shabbos Chalavoy Pesach. This is Yecheskel 37. And it's just amazing that you read it so carefully. It says over here that I take you out of your graves, and I bring you El Atmas Israel. Mommy speaking about our time. Now the first Gula took place on Pesach, and the final Gula, according to the Zohar, also has to take place on Pesach. Interestingly, the first Gula, God sent Moshe Rabbeinu. Who's he going to send in the final Gula? Next week's Torah, who's he going to send? Shabbos HaGadol, who's he going to send?
Eliyahu
HaNavi. So the first Ruach, the messenger, was Moshe Rabbeinu. And the final Ruach, Malachi tells us that the messenger will be not Moshe Rabbeinu, but will be who? Eliyahu HaNavi. Why? Why did God change messengers? You think about it? Why will Eliyahu HaNavi be the according to Malachi, we meet next Shabbos in the Torah, that the messenger won't be Moshe Rabbeinu, it will be Eliyahu HaNavi to announce the final redemption. Why do you think that?
Moshe
will be tired. Huh? So God took another what? So why God killed the many Nevi'im? Why did God choose Eliyahu HaNavi to be the messenger of the final Gula? Madua Balama?
Isn't Eliyahu is
Pinchas? Pinchas Eliyahu, okay.
So he was the one to he was the one to take the
woman
and shield those two.
He killed Cosby, Jimmy and Cosby. So
I mean, maybe
so,
this is like after the Exodus and after everything, yeah, a new nation after slavery. He's like a new era.
Yeah.
Fresh.
But there are many to be. Why is he the one to announce the final Gula?
Yes, Mishumba Moshe.
No, Mishumba Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. He has an neshama of Pinchas. So why is he the messenger to announce the final Gula? What's so we have got it?
Maybe because Eliyahu spoke bad about the Jewish people, and he's the one who has to see us through the
Gemara. Excellent. Excellent. You look at the Book of Kings. He said the Jews are not worthy to be redeemed. They have no merit. So Hashem is going to show them what? Therefore, he comes to every Brit, and he comes to every Savior. If you read the Book of Kings, he says to God, the Jewish people are no good, they left your Brit, they don't observe the Torah anymore. So he has to come to every Brit to testify that he spoke incorrectly. The Jews are still making the Brit, and they have to come to every Savior, no matter how alienated the Jew is. They'll still make a Brit Milah, they'll still make a Savior. So he has to eat his own words to show that he didn't speak correctly. And therefore, he is going to be the prophet of the final word. He said the Jews have no merit for redemption. He testifies that they do have merit. He goes to every Brit Milah, he goes to every Seder. But those mitzvahs alone for Brit Milah, for keeping a Seder, that makes the Jewish people worthy of final redemption. And therefore, he is the prophet of the final redemption. That's his tikkun. For saying the Jews have no merit. And he testifies that they do have a merit by attending every Brit, by attending every Seder. Next Shabbos is called Shabbos HaGadol, the Great Shabbos, right? Why is it called the Great Shabbos? Because the rabbi makes a great speech. Huh?
That's when they tie the Korban Pesach.
So why is it called the Great Shabbos, Shabbos HaGadol? Huh? Why not the Shabbos HaGadol? So, I'll tell you the many reasons. I'll tell you a reason I think that you don't know about. Usvarta lechem imochrat haShabbat. You know, if you look in Pashas Emor, Pesach is also called Shabbat. You know that? It says, Usvarta lechem imochrat haShabbat. You shall start counting Sfira on the next day of Shabbat. What is Shabbat? When do you start counting Sfira?
Yes.
Pesach. So Pesach is the only chag that is called Shabbat. Question is why? So therefore we call the Shabbat before Pesach Gadol. Because Shabbos itself, because Pesach itself is called what? Shabbat. So you want to make a differentiation between what? Pesach, which is called Shabbos, and Shabbos. So even though Pesach is called Shabbos, but compared to the real Shabbos, Shabbos is HaGadol. Pesach is called Shabbos. The only Chag that's called Shabbat, look at Pashas Emor. We want to make a demarcation between Pesach, which is called Shabbos, and the regular Shabbos. So even though Pesach is called Shabbos, it still is not as great as what? As a regular Shabbos. So therefore, the Shabbos before Pesach is called HaGadol. Because compared to Pesach Shabbos, it's Gadol. Because Shabbos is much greater than any Chag. Even greater than what? Than Pesach. Even greater than Kippur. Even greater than Pesach. So therefore it's called It's called what? It's called Shabbat HaGadol. So now the question is, why is Pesach called Shabbos? Right? I've got another question for you, I'm not joking at the Seder. Ma nishtala Pesach b'kolach hagim? You write this down. Why is Pesach different from all the other hagim? Pesach is the